Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Alicia Shanice Reviews. I am your host, it's your girl Shanice, coming at you with another podcast. We are on episode 296, and today's topic is the book, The Tale of the Park Hill Crew, written by your very own host, Alicia Shanice. We are reading pages 96, chapter 5, titled Grand Opening. So y'all already know how we do. We about to get into it, dissect it, do what we do over here on this platform. If you need to purchase the book, it is on Amazon. It is available in ebook or paperback form. If you get the ebook, it's downloaded instantly. If you choose paperback, it will be shipped to you within a few days. If you have any problem locating the book, the link is in the description. So all you got to do is click on the description and it's in the link. Click that link. It takes you directly to the book, but you can search it for The Tale of the Park Hill Crew, or you can put in my name. Sometimes Amazon is a little shaky when you search for it. So I did make the link available. And if you have any problem locating the link at all to get to the book or locating the book, hit me up. It could be inbox, DM, or email, and I will send it directly to you. Also, if you need to get in touch with me, please do. For any recap requests, with that being a TV show, a movie, a docuseries, or if you have any businesses, brands, music, or anything that you're working on that you would like for me to shout out, promote, all of that is free of charge. I love whom loves me, and I love to support who supports me. My Facebook is Alicia Shanice. Instagram is Alicia Shanice Reviews. Email is aliciashanicereviews13@gmail.com. If you listen to the podcast on Spotify, can you please hit the follow button? It really helps me out. Also, if you're on Spotify, check out my music playlist. All you have to do is type in Shanice Loves. If you click on one playlist, I know that will populate for sure. Click on the picture profile. It takes you to all the rest of them. And I have every genre because your girl got some long-range music ears. So on that note, let's go ahead and jump into the show. And let's talk The Tale of the Park Hill Crew. Grand opening. One mic. All I need is one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. Hey y'all, it's your girl Shanice, and I'm just coming in to check in with y'all to remind y'all to protect y'all energy, as I always say. Life is at, you know, we have very different stresses at an all-time high. Why not go ahead and take you guys a nice vacation at a reasonable price with a trusted travel agent, you know? And that could be a solo trip, a trip with your boo thang, a family trip, a girl's trip, a guy's trip, whatever. Just let me let y'all know this right now. Visit T-Booked It. T-B-B-O-O-K-E-D-I-T. Follow them on Instagram, or you can send them an email at tbbookedit@gmail.com. The world is a beautiful place. Let them go ahead and help you discover it. Go ahead and release those stress vibes and go ahead and enjoy your vacation. At TB Booked It, they got all the reasonable deals. And just let them know, your girl Shanice, she sent you there.
Name is Shanice, and she's the one. Her name is Shanice, and she's the one.
Tale of the Park Hill Crew, Volume 1. Tap into Alicia Shanice Reviews.
How you gonna have a clear mind when you was 8 and seen your sister die? 2 years older than him, baby was 10, he held her in his arms. Traumatized the pain of losing siblings, that shit really hurt. Shaquem wanna play ball, but they don't pay off like the streets at all. On top of that, don't make it better that his daddy died. Not natural causes, young and pops committed suicide. Trying to get that monkey off your back, it's like a do or die. They say when it's your time, then it's your time, guess it was time for Carl. Terry a good mind, but losing kids is hard to cope with. Husband gone, son's in the street, no she don't want this. Aside the others, out of 3 kids, so now he run shit. Deuce been doing crack, dealing with all these tragic moments. 1994 came up in Detroit, a real D-boy. Trying to teach his little brother to be the one and not the decoy. But got his little cousin out here trapping all in the streets for him. Got the Jones, big bro, gon' tell the rest, just keep the beat going. Tales of the Park Hill Crew.
Page 96, Grand Opening. Saturday night approaches, and the crew of four, Shaquem, Damien, Lucky, and Kato, head up to Stone's new club, The Box. As they're driving, they're all crunked and hyped up in the car, and it's already packed when they pull into the parking lot. "Damn, it's jumping," Damien says. He goes on to say, "Sha, don't get scared." "Ain't nobody scared," Shaquem says. When they walk in, they can barely move through the crowd. It's so crowded with sets of different crews standing around. They walk towards the back where they see Stone among the crowd. "What up, young bloods? What up, though?" They all yell excitedly, walking over to greet him. "Y'all ready for all this? We ain't at that small studio no more. You got some people who gonna be feeling y'all, and you got some people who gonna be booing and talking shit." "We more than ready," Damien says with confidence, with Shaquem standing on the side of him, looking nervous. "Okay. Well, I got y'all going on later, so just enjoy yourselves for now. I gotta go back to the office for a minute," Stone tells them. "Let's walk to the front," Damien says to the crew. "Go on ahead, cuz. Me and Kato gotta catch up with Stone and ask him something," Shaquem tells him. Damien just looks. We'll meet up with y'all in a minute," Damien tells Shaquem and Kato. Him and Lucky walk towards the front. Kato and Shaquem head to Stone's office and knock on his door. When he opens to see them, he sees what they need. "Yo, Stone, you think we can get a hit of that 1-2? Shaquem asks him hesitantly. Stone looks at them for a moment and lets them in, closing the door behind them. "Look, little niggas, I'm already hooking y'all up with the studio time. I'm gonna hit y'all off this time. But this right here, y'all gonna pay for it," he says in a stern tone. "Understood," says Shaquem. Stone pulls the plate out and starts breaking down some lines. They all do one together. Then there's a knock at the door. "Who is it?" Stone calls out. "It's Damien." "Hold on a minute," Stone says as he covers the plate of coke before he opens the door. "What's up, young blood?" "Shit, I was just seeing what y'all was in here doing." "We on our way out now," Kato says. He seems nervous, somehow, like he's trying to hide something. The coke is halfway covered. Damien takes note of how jittery Shaquem has become. They were clearly getting high. "Well, let's head up to the stage and check out the competition," he finally says. They all walk out the office with Stone right behind them, locking his office door behind them. When they get to the front by the stage, looking at the other crews battle each other, Damien stares at Shaquem and Kato, while they're both high as a kite. His mood instantly changes from hype to pissed off and disappointed. especially with Shaquem. They've been through enough already with their mother's habits. As the boys watch the other crews perform, Keisha and Nikki walk up to them, hugging both Shaquem and Kato. Tasha and Carmen finally make it in there, and they bump into Stone first. "Hey, baby girl, I was looking for you." "Wow, Uncle, it's jumping in here." "Yeah, it is. I ain't gonna lie. It ended up being bigger turnout than I expected. But look, I gotta keep it moving, making sure everything go cool. If you need anything, baby girl, just let me know. I promise your mom I will look out for you tonight." "All right, Uncle. Have you seen Shaquem and them?" "Yeah, they in the front," he says, pointing in their direction. "Okay, great. Let me find them," she tells them. She tells him, running in the front. Before she can make it to the front, Monica approaches her. "Hey, can we talk, please?" "Nope, we can't," Carmen says. "Please, Carmen, you've been ignoring my calls all day." Just hear what she has to say," Tasha tells Carmen. "All right, let's just walk to the back by my uncle's office so I can hear you." The girls walk to the back. "I'm really sorry. I know you didn't tell nobody what happened between me and Black. I just thought for a second, from the way Shaquem and Lucky was pressing me, and jumped to conclusions. I promise you I wouldn't say anything. I don't know why you would even think I would do that to you anyways." "I know, Carmen. I should have known better. You're one of my best friends. I just was tripping and been having a lot on my mind. Can you please try to forgive me?" "Let's just talk about it later. I don't feel like talking about this tonight," Carmen says. She goes on to say, "You should definitely be sorry. It's because of you that me and Shaquem broke up. You already know how jealous he is. I don't know why you would put that in his mind in the first place." You're right. "And I do apologize," Monica says. The girls walk up to the front, and the first thing Carmen sees is Shaquem all hugged up with Keisha. He looks at her, but keeps on hugging Keisha as if Carmen was a non-factor. Carmen stands there for a moment with a blank stare on her face. Then she blurts out, "Tasha, I'm ready to go. Can you take me home?" "What? We just got here. I want to sit and perform," Tasha says. "So, you're not going to take me home?" Carmen says aggressively. "Carmen, we just got here. I'll take you home after they perform. Fuck him. You can do better than Shaquem anyway." "Forget it. I'll find my own damn ride home," Carmen says, storming off. "Yo, see," Damien shouts, trying to catch up with her. She turns and stops for a moment. "Where you about to go?" he asks her. "Home. I shouldn't have come anyway." "Carmen, just stay. You know how Shaquem is. He's just trying to get under your skin." "Well, he clearly accomplished that." "So you don't even want to see me perform?" Damien asks her. She puts her head down, shaking her head. "Not tonight, D. I'm sorry. Just have a good show," she says, walking off. She goes to her uncle's office first to call her mom for a ride. But the door is locked, and she can't find Stone anywhere, so she walks outside for some air. A group of teenagers wait in line. One of the girls has a cell phone in her hand. "Can I please use your phone?" Carmen asks her. The girl lets her use the phone, and when she calls her mom, she does not get an answer. "Shit, she must have left." "Are you okay?" the girl asks her. "Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you for lending me your phone," Carmen says as she walks towards the side of the building and lets her tears flow freely. A guy pulls up in his car and yells out the window at her. "What's up, little pretty girl, Carmen?" It's Black Tony, Asad's homeboy. "Hey, Tony," she says, wiping her eyes. "Why you outside by yourself?" he asks her. trying to call my mom to pick me up. Damn, you leaving already? Did Shakim already perform? Nope, they go last. What's wrong, little mama? You and Shakim must not be fucking with each other tonight, huh? We're not talking right now, Tony. He looks her up and down, eyeing in a way she hadn't seen before. Well, I'm not going in there. I can give you a ride home. I was headed back that way anyways. That's okay, Tommy. I'm just going to call my mom again. I'm sure she's back by now. I just came up here to handle some business. I'm going that way now. Quit acting like you don't trust me. I watched you grow up. Carmen hesitates and then walks over to the car. Tony has a big smile on his face as she gets in. As they drive off towards the neighborhood, he continues to look at her. I can't believe you was acting like you was scared to get in the car with me, he says with a grin. I wasn't scared. I just been having a fucked up night, that's all. I hear you, little mama. I remember when I was y'all age. He pulls in front of her house and parks the car. She quickly opens the door and tells him thank you. Wait a minute. What you rushing for, little mama? He says, grabbing her hand. I'm tired, and it's just been a long day. You know, Shakim like my little brother to me. Try to look out for him since the side away. I know. Well, if he be tripping and you need to talk, I'm here for you. He says, rubbing his finger up her thigh. Carmen's legs start to shake. Damn, baby, you good? Thanks for the ride, Tony. I have to get in the house. Why? Your mama wasn't even expecting you back this early. Come over my crib for a minute. We can watch a movie and shit. Nah, I have a headache. Maybe another time. He rubs her face gently, saying, your little pretty self, you're going to end up being my little special friend. He reaches over to rub her breasts. She jumps back. I got to go, she tells him, jumping out of the car. Now, Carmen has heard about Tony's reputation. He's got a few bodies already on him. So she rushes in the house. Back at the box, the final battle begins. Stone has set up for the Park Hill crew to go up against 12th Street crew, which has a dope lyricist named Marley on their team. The two crews go head to head for 3 full rounds, with the crowd going crazy between all Northsiders chanting for Park Hill and Downtowners cheering for 12th Street. By the end of the third round, Park Hill is crowned the winner. And after the battle, Shakim walks up to Stone, giving him some dap. Y'all did the damn thing, young bloods, Stone says, smiling. Yo, can I holler at you in your office for a minute? Stone nods and leads them into the office. What's good, young blood? Can I buy some of that off of you? Stone doesn't seem too keen on Shakim's request. He just looks at him for a moment. Don't you think you're doing too much, young blood? I can handle it. Plus, I got a lot of shit going on right now. All right, look. I'm going to give you some more. But look at here. I need for you to stay on your shit. Slow your roll. I hear you, unk. Where the hell is Carmen? I haven't even seen her since earlier. Shakim blurts out to him. You mean to tell me you ain't checked on your own girlfriend? Stone asks him. Shakim just looks. How the hell did she get home? I don't know, unk. She ain't really been talking to me. Dee said she was calling her mama to get her. Yeah, okay, young blood. You better tread slim when it come to my damn niece. I will stop all this shit, Stone says, handing him the coat. Come on, Unc. You know how I feel about Carmen. She just mad at me right now, that's all. Stone looks him up and down. Yeah, okay, little nigga. Just remember that is my niece. You heard? I hear you, Unc. Everybody who know me knows I love that girl. All right, go on ahead and get out of here so I can shut everything down for the night. Shaquem walks out of the office and Keisha runs up to him. Where we going tonight? She asks. Me and Kato about to go over my crib. You can roll with us if you want. Yeah, me and Nikki will follow y'all. Monica and Tasha walk up to them. Where y'all going? Shaquem house, Lucky says. Well, we coming too, Monica says, snappy. Over Shaquem's, they chill in the basement. Tasha and Monica sit on a couch, and mean mugging Keisha and Nikki. The dudes are still geeked up from the show, with Shaquem and Kato going back and forth to the bathroom to sniff the coat Shaquem got from Stone. Damien sits there, peeping out what they're doing, but observing very quietly. Girl, my dude did the damn thing tonight, Keisha says, giggling to Nikki. When Shaquem become your dude? Monica asks her sarcastically. Keisha looks at her and rolls her eyes. Chill out, Mo. Don't come over here with that bullshit, Lucky tells her. Whatever, she says, barking back at her brother. Damien sits quietly for as long as he can, being more irritated by Kato and Shaquem, and even more aggravated with Keisha and Nikki being there. He blurts out, hey, y'all gotta roll out. Damn, D, it's like that? Making fam leave, but the chicken head hoes can stay? Monica blurts out. Who the fuck you talking to, bitch? Keisha says as she jumps up in Monica's face. I'm talking to Damien, but I was referring to you and your friend, chicken head hoe, Monica says, jumping up as well. Damien and Lucky jump in between them. Chill that shit out. We got kids upstairs. Y'all motherfuckers gotta go, Damien yells. Kato sits at the table laughing hysterically. Come on, I'll walk y'all out, he tells Keisha and Nikki. When Shaquem walks back downstairs from the bathroom, Keisha gets in front of him. Shaquem, you want me to leave? Because your cousin's saying it's time for us to go. Shaquem looks over at Damien and can see how aggravated he is. At that point, he's so high he could care less about anything. Yeah, y'all gotta bounce. I'll call you tomorrow, he says nonchalant. She looks at him disappointed and she asks him, with so much confidence, expecting him to say yes, he wanted her to stay. Okay, she says, storming up the steps. After the girls are gone, and it's just the normal four downstairs, Shaquem asks them if they want to play the PlayStation. And before anybody can answer him, Damien goes off on him and Kato. What the fuck wrong with both of y'all? He yells. Each one look at him confused. What the hell you talking about, bro? Lucky asks. I'm talking about Shaquem and Kato, stupid asses. He looks over at them. How long y'all been fucking with that shit? We supposed to be in the game to make money, not be fucking dope heads. Chill out, fam. Ain't nobody becoming no fucking dope head. It's just been a lot of shit going on lately, Shaquem says defensively. What the hell y'all talking about? Who fucking with what? Lucky ass confused. These two niggas. Don't tell me you ain't notice them, Damien says. What? Man, please don't tell me y'all fucking with what I think, Lucky says. Look, Shy, you just asked me if I could put you on so you could make some money with me since the side locked up. You really think I'm gonna do that? And you playing with your fucking nose? It ain't like that, D. I am ready to make this money, Shaquem says. If Asad was out, he would kick your ass about this. Do you want to end up like both of our mamas and shit? Shaquem sits there silently, not responding. Damien ends up heading upstairs. But then he turns around and addresses Kato and Shaquem again. This music shit, it might be our ticket out the hood. I mean, we got unlimited access to a studio. Now we can do shows at the club. Stone got hella connections. All y'all been telling me is y'all ready. Y'all ready to get out here and make this money with me. Y'all niggas gonna fuck shit up before we even really get started. Shaquem puts his head down and his hands over his head, shaking. You're right, bro. On everything. Look, I'm ready. And I give you my word. No more of this bullshit, he says, shaking. Yeah, me too, asks Kato. You already know I'm more than ready. And I ain't putting shit up my nose, Lucky says. Damien looks at them. I'm gonna tell y'all like a side told me. You better be ready. Because once you step in this grown man's game, that's it. And one thing about me, I'm all about my money. I hear you, Shaquem says. Look, it's late. I'm about to head to the cut, like he tells them, giving them all some dap. Me too. And I heard everything you said, D, Kato tells him. I need you to get your shit together, Shy. Remember, we all we got, bro. Damien tells him as he walks up the stairs. The next day, Damien walks over to Carmen's house. When she opens the door, she steps on the porch to talk to him. She gets right to it. Who the hell was that chick all in Shaquem's face last night? I don't know, Carmen. I never seen her before. How you get home last night? I found the ride. How was the show last night? Man, it was dope. We had the crowd hyped as hell. I'm happy for y'all. But look, I don't feel good. I'll just holler at you later. I'm about to go lie back down. From Damien's expression, Carmen could tell he sensed her lack of enthusiasm. A girl screams next door. Carmen and Damien run to the front yard. Black is over there, dragging Monica out of the car with a tight, aggressive grip on her. Let her the fuck go, Damien yells, running up to him. Lucky runs out to the house in his basketball shorts and white beater on. Hey, bitch nigga, I told you to keep your motherfucking hands off my sister. He clocks Black in the back of his head without a beat. Little nigga, you better take your skinny ass back in the house, Black says, unfazed. Lucky and Damien start jumping him. Monica and Lucky's mom, Miss Laurie, runs outside screaming. Stop, y'all! Stop this right now! What the hell is going on? Damien and Lucky get off Black, and he runs to his car. He looks back at them. Both of y'all little niggas dead. He gets in his car and peels off. What happened? Miss Laurie screams. He put his hands on your daughter again, Mama, Lucky tells her. Miss Laurie looks over at Monica as she stands there looking humiliated. In the house, now, she says, pointing towards the house. Monica storms in the house. Thanks, bro. Let me get in here and see what happened myself. I'll meet you over Shock Rib in a minute, Lucky says, giving him some dap and heads in. Carmen asks Damien if he's okay, and he says he's fine, but Carmen is more concerned about what Black might do to retaliate. You know that dude is crazy. I will not be surprised if he tries to come back over here. Damien is unfazed and decides to head home. The two hug and go their separate ways. Over the next couple of days, tension is high. Now, Black is older than all of them, and he is big in a dope game with a bigger street team behind him. The Park Hill crew are teenagers. Damien has been in the game for a while, but Shaquem, Lucky, and Kato are new to the hustling lifestyle. Asad's always been the go-to person, and with him being locked up, they're laying low and strapped. But one afternoon, Shaquem walks over to Carmen's house and knocks on her front door. When she looks out of the peephole, she sees it's him and opens the door with attitude. "Can we talk?" Shaquem blurts out. "Nope," she says, slamming the door in his face. She continues to yell from behind the closed door. "Go talk to the bitch you were with the other night." Shaquem starts to beat on the door, and she opens it back up. "What do you want, Shaquem?" "Don't be like that, Mocha. Why are you acting childish and shit?" "What you say?" "So I'm acting childish." "Sha, you got some nerve. All you do is disrespect me. You came over here last week and broke my mama's glass table, accusing me of creeping with your cousin. Shaquem, get the hell away from my house." Next door, Lucky has a full porch with Damien, Cato, Dale, Damien's bunkie from Juvenile Detention Center, and Malik, one of Asad's older homies. As they sit on the porch, jonesing on each other and laughing at Shaquem, who is still next door, begging Carmen to talk to him, a 1964 black Cutlass skirts down the street, and gunshots come out of the car. They all duck and cover. Damien and Malik start busting back at the car. "Y'all good? Anybody hit?" Damien asks as he runs over to Shaquem. "Everybody good?" "That was black bitch ass crew," Lucky shouts out. "Payback time. That nigga dead. I'm gonna cut his fucking water off. Man, he thought y'all was just some little niggas who didn't have nobody since the side locked up. Fuck that. Meet me around my crib in 20 minutes, Malik yells angrily. When Miss Laurie walks into her house later that evening, she finds Monica and Lucky arguing. "What's going on?" she yells. "Ma, this all her fault. Fucking with that old ass hoe ass nigga," Lucky yells. Lucky's mother hauls off and slaps him hard on the side of his mouth. "Boy, watch your mouth. Show some respect." "Mama, I didn't start nothing. I called Black, and he said he ain't have nothing to do with that shooting." "Man, you so fucking stupid," Monica Lucky screams. "Shut up. Mama, him and his stupid friends be out here selling drugs. This probably has something to do with them." "You know what? Monica, next time that nigga put his hands on you, don't expect me to come to your rescue. Let him keep whooping your stupid ass," Lucky says. "Well, both of y'all calm the hell down and tell me what the fuck is going on." "I can't deal with this shit right now," Lucky says. He grabs his coat and heads out the door, slamming it behind him. Miss Laurie runs out the porch trying to call him back, but he keeps walking. Over at Shaquem's house, him, Damien, Cato and Dale sit in the living room plotting on how to get payback. The phone rings. "Hello?" Shaquem says. "I accept," he says. The line beeps over. "What's up, baby bro?" Asad says. "Shit wild right now, bro. What's going on?" Shaquem fills him in about Black and tells him their plan to get back at him. "Hold off on that shit, Sha," Asad tells him firmly. Then he goes on to say, "Let me shoot a few calls first. Just trust me. I know how them niggas roll. Just hold off until I call you back." Shaquem doesn't say anything, unsure of whether to be relieved that Asad is taking the wheel or angry that he can't get his revenge. He sits quiet for a moment. Shah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Look, I told you this street shit wasn't for you. Now look, soon as I get put in this motherfucker, you not going to school, you done with ball, and you out there hustling. Look, Asad, I ain't trying to hear all this right now. Boy, who the fuck you talking to? I'm sorry, bro. Look, I was out of line. How you holding up?
I'm maintaining. Where Kim at?
She been in her mom's crib the last couple of days since they started back talking. They're telling me I gotta get off this phone. Y'all be careful and wait for my call to come before you do something stupid. Don't even think about listening to that fool Malik. I hear you, bro. I love you.
Love you too, little man.
Asad says more calmly, and him and Shaquem hangs up. Lucky walks in the house and comes in with his adrenaline pumping. Yo, what's the plan? He asks.
We gonna hold off for a minute, Damien tells him.
What the fuck y'all talking about? Get off that scary shit, Lucky barks.
Nigga, chill.
Asad said hold off for a minute, Shaquem tells him. Lucky gets frustrated. He wants us to come at these clowns the right way. So you gotta chill. We gonna get our get back luck. Shaquem goes on to tell him. Damien walks back in the living room. I just called Stone. He said we can come to the studio. The fellas head out to Shaquem's car as a red Cadillac slowly pulls up on them. Damien reaches for his piece. The tinted window on the driver's side slowly rolls down, and an older man sticks his head out of the window.
Lil Shaquem,
the man says. Shaquem looks at the car and walks closer with caution to get a better view. Big Bud, one of Asad's big homies, comes into view. Now, over the last few months, word has been out that he was back, but living far out in Southfield.
What's up, Big Bud? Shaquem says.
What's up, youngin? You looking all shook and shit, he says, laughing.
You can't be creeping up like that. You had a nigga nervous, Shaquem says, laughing.
I got a call today from your brother. Y'all good?
Yeah, we straight.
Damn, I just got off the phone with him not so long ago.
Big Bud chuckles. Word moves faster than the streets on the inside. Y'all little niggas getting deep in over y'all heads, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about, Bud. I'm just focused on music right now. All this beef shit came out of nowhere with this old ass nigga putting his hands on the homie's sister and shit.
I hear you. But look, little homie, I made a promise to your brother that I would look after you. No retaliation game right now. Let me see if I can smooth shit over it. Y'all ain't ready for them, youngin.
We ain't no hoes, OG,
Shaquem says, as if he has a point to prove.
Never said you was, but it's a way to handle shit like this without ending up in a body bag. Just be careful, and if you need anything, hit me up, and remember what I said.
Shaquem nods, and they give each other some dap, and Big Bud pulls off. The fellas make it over to Stone's studio and start drinking. And Shaquem walks in the booth and starts rhyming, getting the frustration off his chest, letting the liquor take over his emotions about his dad and the loss of his siblings. Damien sits there playing different beats, amazed at how raw and uncut Shaquem sounds off his new beat, just bringing it to life.
We got some here, young bloods. But you know what will make it even better? Stone says, walking into the booth with his stogie cigar in his mouth.
What's that? Damien asks.
We put baby girl Carmen on the hook.
Damien nods his head, listening to the beat.
Yeah, that would make it sound better.
I'll call her now, Shaquem tells them. Y'all little niggas know y'all got my sister shook over there with that damn shooting.
It's getting worked out, huh?
Shaquem says, assuring him Carmen and her mom will be safe.
All right. If it's anything I need to know, let me know. I mean, shit. Y'all little niggas be at my crib 24/7. And if I need to bring my sister and niece over here for a while, I will. It's cooling down now, Unc. Everything getting worked out. That's my word, Damien tells him. When they finish up their session and head back to the hood, Shakim walks in his house and looks over at the clock on the kitchen stove. It's 2 a.m. He then walks back to the living room and stares at the couch, having a flashback of his father sitting there cleaning his gun. He shakes his head to snap out of it, grabbing his jacket and walking out of the house into the backyard, jumping the fence over to Carmen Street. He gently taps on her bedroom window so Miss Linda can't hear him. After a minute, she wakes up. She turns on her lamp, seeing the signal. He heads on the roof balcony to wait for her. When she makes it up there, she rubs her eyes and hugs herself. "What's wrong?" she asks him. "Shit, been missing you," he tells her as he stares up at the stars in the sky. Carmen sits next to him in silence. "Are you sure you are okay, Shakim?" "Yeah, I'm okay. Just tired. But I couldn't sleep. Just having another restless night." "It's almost 3 a.m. I have school in the morning." Shakim chuckles to himself and says, "You are the one who always saying if I ever need to talk, your ear is mine, morning, noon, or night. You're supposed to be my confidant, right?" "Right. Of course. I'm always here for you no matter what. I just feel like I have to start looking out for myself too." "What you mean by that?" "My sanity, Shakim. This whole relationship is a roller coaster, and you ride it whenever you want to." Shakim lowers his head in shame, not saying a word. "Look, Shai, I am here for you as a friend, but I can't get back in a relationship with you. Not right now." "I hear you, Mocha. To be honest, I'm tired of hurting you myself, but I'm going to earn your trust back. I swear. I made a dope-ass song tonight, by the way." She looks at him with a smile. "You did?" "Yep. It's just missing one thing to make it official." "What's that?" "Your voice," he says, smiling. "Whatever, Shakim. You always act like you don't want me to be a part of the studio life with y'all. Carmen, this song needs you. It's about my family. And when you hear it, you're going to understand why you're the only one who can sing this hook." A tear rolls down her eye. "I love you so much, Shakim. I don't even think you understand. But yeah, of course, I will sing on a hook." Shakim kisses her on the forehead and says, "Go on in the house and get your beauty rest." He helps her up. They kiss and say their goodnights. Over the next couple of weeks, the tension and beef dies down with Black and his crew. Big Bud stepped in and had a conversation with one of Black's OGs, as promised. They still are not cool with each other, but there is no war in the air. Carmen and Shakim are back together after that night. However, they have not officially acknowledged that they are a couple again, acting like a couple, but with no title. Carmen starts going to the studio with them and getting on some tracks, leaving Keisha extremely furious and embarrassed. Keisha's family is well known in Detroit, and as soon as her cousins heard word on how fast she had fallen for him, they warned her about Shakim and how it was not over with him and Carmen. She starts to call him constantly, with Kim rudely telling her either he is not home or he will call her back. When Mama Terry answers, she yells, "Stop calling. He has a girlfriend," and then hangs up in her face. Saturday night approaches, and the entire crew goes to the bowling alley to celebrate the twins, Lucky and Monica's birthday. The bowling alley is packed with its usual Saturday night crowd. Black and his 12th Street crew walk in a little while after and sit on the other side. Tension quickly grows in the air with the mean mugs coming from both crews. Black nods towards Monica for her to meet him in the corner. She quickly eases over, and he kisses all on her. Shaquem and Carmen are sitting there cuddled, with the rest of the crew looking over, making sure Monica is okay. "Happy birthday, baby," Black whispers in her ear, handing her a gift box. "What you get me, Black?" she asks decidedly. "Open it up," he tells her, smiling. She opens the box and sees it's a necklace. "Thank you. I love it," she says, cheesing. "You leaving with me tonight, so don't even think about riding home with your girls," he tells her. "Black, you know my mama. You know how my mama is. I don't care. It's your birthday, and you spending it with me." She smiles. "Okay, I'll make something up. Let me get back over here with them." "Okay," he says, kissing her. Carmen starts to get irritated as Shaquem and Cato constantly keep going in and out of the bathroom and back and forth to the car. She grows suspicious but has no idea about what they're doing or about their new habit of using cocaine every day, started by no other than her very own uncle. "Why the hell they keep going outside like that, D? What are they up to?" Damien watches Shaquem and Cato as they exit the building, already knowing what they're up to, and shakes his head. "I don't know, sis. They're probably going to hit some liquor or a blunt or something. They acting weird. That's all I know," she says. Mia, one of the girls from the neighborhood who was a little older and used to have dealings with the side, walks over to their table. "Hey, Carmen," she says, giving her a hug. "What's going on, D?" Mia says and hugs him next. "Shit, what's good, Mia?" he says, smiling. "You know I had to come out tonight and show some love to the twins," Mia tells him. "That's what's up. We happy you came," he says smoothly. "Hey, D, I want you to meet my cousin." He looks behind Mia and sees a light-skinned, cute, petite girl with a nose ring and a few tattoos and a real big booty behind her, shyly. "This is my cousin, Angel, and this my homeboy, Damien. We call him D," Mia says, introducing them to each other. "How are you doing?" Angel asks him. "Sup, little mama?" "I'm good. How you doing?" he asks her in a smooth, flirtatious tone. "Bitch, don't act shy like you ain't been asking me about him," Mia says, putting her on blast with her ghetto fabulous personality that everybody loves her for. "Girl, shut up," Angel says as if she's embarrassed. But they all laugh. Cato and Shaquem walk back into the bowling alley, hyped up and loud from their high. Shaquem leans over and gives Carmen a big hug, kissing her all over her cheek. "What the hell y'all was doing outside?" she asks him. "Nothing. Look, don't start tripping. We've been having a good time," he says, brushing her off. "Damn, she fine," Cato whispers to Damien, referring to Angel. "That's me a cousin," Damien tells him. "You want to sit down?" Damien asks Angel. "Yeah," she says, smiling, and quickly sits next to him. "You acting all shy? What, you was just going to stand up all night?" Damien jokes. "What side of town you stay on?" "I grew up in the projects," she tells him as if she's ashamed. "Straight up? Ain't nothing wrong with that, baby," he tells her. "Yeah, but I'm staying with Mia for a while. But I be seeing you around." "Word? Why you ain't never say nothing then?" "Well, at first I thought she was your girlfriend," she says, pointing at Carmen. "Nah, that's my cousin girl, but she like my sister though. I would always see y'all pass the house walking together, so I just assumed. But Mia filled me in." They both laugh. "Damn, little mama, you was doing some investigating, huh?
Yep, I was, she said, smiling. They both start laughing and look at each other. Shortly after, Keisha and Nicole walk in with a group of girls. Shaquem and Carmen sit close to each other, looking all comfortable, and Keisha and Nicole sit at a table directly across from them and start mean mugging the couple. Shaquem gets up and walks over to the concession stand to get some food as Keisha marches straight over to him. Oh, so now you don't know nobody, she yells. He looks at her with his bloodshot eyes from his intoxication. What's up with you? What the fuck, you and that bitch get back together or something? Chill out, man, Shaquem says, turning away from her. You ain't shit, Shaquem, she screams, causing a scene. Man, calm your crazy ass down, for you embarrass yourself, shorty, he says, walking off nonchalantly. When he makes it back to their table with their food, Carmen stands up, telling him she'll be right back. She has to go to the restroom. He grabs her by the waist, stopping her. What's wrong? She asks him. Nothing. But I'm going to walk with you, though. Boy, I don't need you to walk me to no bathroom. Tasha notices that he is trying to keep her from bumping into Keisha. You know what? I have to go to the bathroom, too. Carmen, I'll walk with you, she says in her protective mode over her best friend. Okay, come on, Carmen says with confusion, wondering why they're acting so overprotective. Now, as the two girls walk out of the bathroom, Keisha rushes up to Carmen. So you and Shaquem back together? She yells. Carmen takes a step back, befuddled and confused. Who the fuck you coming at like that? She yells back. Bitch, I'm coming up to you. This hoe ass niggas was just fucking on me every day, on an everyday basis. And now y'all two motherfuckers all lovey-dovey like shit sweet. Bitch, please, gone with all that, Carmen says, attempting to walk away. Keisha pushes her down. Carmen stumbles on the ground, but slowly catches her grip. The two of them start fighting, hands all in the air. Carmen starts getting the best of Keisha, and Nicole gets fed up and jumps in, leading Tasha to start fighting her. The rest of the girls they came with come and join in, jumping on Carmen and Tasha. Shaquem and the rest of his crew run up. However, before they make it over, security gets there first and breaks up the fight. Keisha's older guy cousins, who were also in the building, run over to check on her. When they see her face, one of the guys sucker punches Shaquem, and a big brawl breaks out with everybody fighting, ending with the police getting called. The next morning, when Shaquem wakes up, he walks outside on a porch, and as he's taking a stretch, he sees that the driver's side of his window is busted out, and his car has been keyed on the driver's side. He starts yelling, "This stupid bitch!" Kim runs on the porch. "What happened?" She yells, but then she walks over to the car. She looks at it and starts laughing. Who the fuck did this? This not even Carmen's style. Shaquem ignores her and storms into the house and dials Keisha's number. On her end of the line, Keisha looks at the caller ID and answers. Oh, so now you know my fucking number, she says. You stupid bitch. I know you did this shit to my car. She starts laughing. I don't know what you're talking about. What happened to your car? All right. You think this shit funny? I want you to laugh when I come spray your shit up, you stinky pussy hoe. Keisha takes a deep breath. Fuck you, she screams and slams the phone down. Shaquem walks outside to look at his car again, and Damien walks over. Damn, she fucked your shit up, bro, he says, shaking his head. This dumb hoe gonna pay for it, too, Shaquem yells. Later that evening, Shaquem, Damien, Lucky, and Kato, and Dale hang out in front of the car in Shaquem's driveway. And Angel walks up to them. Damn, what happened to your car? She asks Shaquem. Nothing,
he says, brushing her off. Hey, Damien, she says with a big smile on her face. What's good, little mama? Can we talk for a minute? Damien nods, and the two walk over towards the porch while Shakim is still screaming about his car. What's good, he asks her. I was trying to see if you wanted to chill with me tonight. I have to see. Got a lot to do today. She starts chuckling. Damn. So you really don't be having time, huh? Told you I'd be busy, baby. But I'll see what I can come up with later and hit you up. Okay. That's cool, she says. What time you talking about, though? She goes on to ask him, smiling. Around 10. Yeah, that should be cool. You want to meet me over at Mia's house? Or I could come over your house. Okay, Davia says. I'll just call you when I get back home. And you can slide through here. Angel says okay and walks off with a big smile on her face. Damien goes back and joins the group. Sha, we about to roll to the music store and grab the CD. You rolling with us, Damien asks him. Nah, go on ahead. I'm going to take the car to old man Fred and see if he can fix this window and shit. Bet. We'll meet you back here later. They dap it up and the rest of the crew walk to the record store. Shakim leaves and drives over to old man Fred's shop. When he pulls up, old man Fred is standing there with his dirty blue jumpsuit, cigarette hanging from his lip, as he's talking to two other men. They just stare at the damage to the car as Shakim slowly pulls in. And when Shakim steps out, old man Fred starts right in on him. Damn. Having women problems already, little Carl, huh? He says, teasing him. Shakim laughs. What you talking about, Fred? Only a woman to do some shit like that. Fred says, chuckling, with the other two men laughing in agreement. Nah, a stalker did this, Shakim tells him. Fred takes a closer look at the mark keyed into the car. Well, you sure pissed her off, didn't you? I ain't do none to that crazy girl, Shakim says, chuckling. Boy, you know you look more like your daddy every day. Nah, Fred, nothing like him, Shakim says quickly. She got your window too, huh? Fred yells, looking at the window. Yeah, chick is crazy. Well, you're gonna have to leave it here for a couple days. I can get it fixed up for you. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. Not a problem. How Miss Terry over there holding up? She holding up as best as she can, Shakim says with his head down. Now later that night, Shakim, Kato, Damien, and Lucky are hanging in Carmen's living room watching TV. She's sitting at her kitchen table doing her homework, and Shakim walks over and kisses her neck. Stop, she says in an irritated tone. What's wrong? Still mad at me? You over here, ain't you? She says with an attitude. Man, why the hell you being so cold? I'm not. Just have to finish this work for my English class. That's all you do. Study and homework. She looks at him and rolls her eyes. Carmen, how many times do I have to tell you I don't fuck with that girl no more? I stopped and I've been faithful as hell. Oh, so she just started tripping out of nowhere? Yeah, that whole crazy. Whatever, Shakim. You're just going to do what you want to do anyways. I could care less at this point. Here you go. Everything been going good lately. The phone rings. Carmen answers. Hey, Carmen. This is Mia's cousin, Angel. I'm sorry for calling your house, but is Damien over there? Girl, you okay? Yeah, he right here. Carmen hands the phone to Damien, but he looks surprised. putting his hand over the phone and whispering, "Who is it?" Carmen tells him, "That girl, Angel." He sighs. "Hello? Oh, so you ignoring me now? What you talking about? I thought you were chilling with me tonight. I called and stopped by your house. I told you I would call you when I got back home." "Whatever, Damien. It's almost 11 and you said 10. All you doing is sitting over Carmen's." He stays silent for a moment. "Meet me in my house in 20 minutes. You don't have to chill with me if you don't want to. Chill with all that, little mama. Meet me in my crib in 20. Okay. They hang up. "All right, y'all. Roll it out," he tells the crew. "Damn, you just met Shorty and she already calling around looking for you and shit," Lucky says. They all laugh. "Man, chill. Ain't nobody got me on lock. I don't do relationships. And I ain't finna be like these two motherfuckers living in a soap opera." He points at Shaquem and Carmen. "Shut up," Carmen yells. "I'm just playing, sis. You know I love you." "I like her, D. She seems cool," Carmen tells him. "I gotta bounce anyway before Mama Linda come home, cussing all our asses out." They all laugh. "She's working a double. She not even off to 3, Carmen tells him. "For real?" Shaquem says, excited. "Oh, don't get happy. You about to leave too." "Shit," Shaquem says. They all laugh. Damien walks out of the door, with Lucky and Kato leaving shortly after him.
Fuck the world, everybody vibing off. If everybody claim they solid, white lies keep getting tossed. Fuck with them, can't fuck with me, it's certain lines you can't cross. I think these niggas tryna get your baby. I turn my back to take a piss, they probably kill your baby. Went to the net but got my number, coulda hit your baby. Niggas weird, they act like bitches more than bitches lately. This shit getting crazy. I keep on looking in my rearview like they trailing me. I keep on having crazy thoughts, I'm drinking heavy lean. Mind moving faster than my actions, I need steady speed. Practice what you preach, I'm still evolving, it's me checking me. Stay solid all these years, I feel I owe you something technically. I'm still paranoid, I'm riding around with heavy weaponry. Strap the ARP across my chest, this bitch a vest to me. Trying to find a time to give a fuck is a test to me. Tried to tell myself to say fuck it, but I can't let it go. Went through trials and tribulations just like you, I just don't let it show. You love me, you ain't gotta say a word. Actions let me know I love you, you ain't gotta think twice, can call on me for show. Court dates and hearses got me sick, I need medication. Light a wood and burn that old booster, that's my meditation. Plans with no action, it's just a dream, quit procrastinating. Give me props while I'm grinding, when I win, don't say congratulations. I fought myself for all the shit that I done lost.
Every day ain't sunny, it's ups and downs, you gotta push through.
Why the fuck I feel I'm close to falling off?
You ain't never gonna fall off, that's the devil talking, nigga, keep grinding.
I take prescriptions trying to kill these crazy thoughts. I'm riding solo, fuck the world, everybody vibing off. Everybody claim they solid, white lies keep getting tossed. Fuck with them, can't fuck with me, it's certain lines you can't cross.
Help you enjoy the show with your girl, Shanice.